It used to be that Muggsy was the one, and the Bobcat years were painfully long, and I was for the signing of Kimba. But then we beat the lottery's long odds. If he can be it, then we can do it. If we just believe it, he'll lead us to it. I believe he's our guy. I believe he can bring back the hype. I hate that some couldn't watch him play, win some games so he will stay. I believe he can score. I see him knocking down Jordan's door. I believe he's our guy. I believe he's that guy. I believe he's our guy.
Kimba's got 2 years, $73 million left on his deal. Horford has 2 years left on his deal as well, but the last year's only partially guaranteed. So Horford, it's 2 years, $41 million. So the Celtics save about $32 million, a lot of that against the cap, obviously. They sacrifice a first-round pick to do it. Kimba won't be in Oklahoma City for long. They will move on. You know, Presti will figure something out in Presti's ongoing quest to one day have every first-round pick of a draft. They'll move Kimba for another pick or at least something, or second-round pick something.
Sports Radio FNC. That was the Hack Song of the Week. First, the R. Kelly homage. The songster himself will join us in 1 hour and 60 minutes to go ahead and get our grade. You guys can send in your grade on the text line of the Diamond Strike Twitter feed. But Stan, that was Nick Wright explaining the workings of the Kemba Walker deal as 2 years into a five-year deal, rather. Kemba Walker has been traded from Boston to Oklahoma City with Boston's first-round pick in what has become a salary dump. And I hate to see this for a player who we all love and respect so much.
Yeah, this one is tough, but it's not the – just because you get traded, like – look, Chris Paul's been traded, what, four times? Mm-hmm. Like, at some point, the way we live in today's free agency, like, dudes are going to be on the move. That's the fact that he's being traded is not the L to me. The L is in that they're holding him personally accountable, some Celtics fans, and he's the fall guy. He's the scapegoat. He didn't break Jaylen Brown's wrist. He didn't give Jason Tatum COVID. There are other things here that impacted what the Celtics did and did not do. So it's painful to see my guy take the public criticism for it not going well.
Yeah, and, you know, we had Sherrod Blakely on of the Bleacher Report an hour ago, and he gave a really good synopsis of this, which is saying, you know, when Kemba's on the court, he's still a good basketball player. And last year, averaged 19 points a game and about five assists per game.
Four rebounds.
And the problem was he only played in 43 games. And I think going forward, if you – whatever team gets him, I think is going to have to embrace a lot of what – Los Angeles, the Clippers, have done with Kawhi Leonard, and that you're going to have to really embrace the idea of load management with him, because that knee is a problem. That knee is something that is going to continue to hinder him. And here's the thing. I'm actually going to tell you. Kemba, last year, was in the Eastern Conference Finals.
He was an all-star.
He was in the Eastern Conference Finals. This year, they get bounced out in the play-in, and this is a guy who I think was another guy hurt by the short layoff from one season to another. So now the fact that he's got, what, 3 months, 4 months between this and the next season?
Mm-hmm.
There's going to be a very smart team out there, and we can get into who that could be. But, like, if there's a championship team looking for moderate risk but high reward, I think that's what Kemba Walker is and what he can be for them, because that guy still has tread on the tires, even though he's 31 years old and has that knee injury.
Yeah, there's still something there. Can he go be what Chris Paul was to Phoenix this year for somebody else, especially if those other – if that other team has a couple All-Stars or All-NBA players? Yeah, I still think there's plenty left. It's what are you expecting him to be? See, I think Kemba would be excellent aside like a young, explosive guard. Let's use Phoenix, for example. Let's say Chris Paul didn't go to Phoenix. But let's say, oh no, you know what Chris Paul, where Kemba Walker would work well? A different version of what he just left, playing alongside wings like Jaylen Brown and Jason Tatum. I thought that was the perfect dynamic, but at the cost and the expectations specifically in Boston, you know, Brad Stevens, now general manager, elected to a board mission.
So when we start, I think, and again, this is predicated on them figuring out the Luka Kristaps element. I think Kemba, with his three-point shooting ability, with the fact that he can play off-ball, he showed that in Boston. Kemba as the third guy in Dallas would be better than any third. Like, respect to Tim Hardaway, who's become a very, very nice player.
My guy.
Respect to some of the other guys they've had. But Kemba as the third guy, where the load you have to carry is a little different, I think next to Luka would be a lot of fun. And, of course, Luka in the same backcourt, Luka's size is going to take some of the pressure off of Kemba.
No doubt about that.
And that is like the first place that I look of at it's a team that needs to take a moderate risk to take the next step, assuming they want to keep Stapps and Luka together. And it's a team that – like, they've got $24 million in cap space. They're not going to be – like, it, that thing, they're not going to be able to fit a good enough free agent that is as good or better than Kemba in that $24 million. You're just not going to be able to do it.
No, they priced that part out, which means, right, they're going to have to give up some stuff. So they're going to have to determine – are you going to move Porzingis? Chuck Cooperstein, voice of the Dallas Mavericks, joined us in the first hour of this program. He said he doesn't believe, it is unlikely, rather, that Kristaps is leaving. Okay, that means you got Luka. He's going to opt in and sign the extension for $200 million. So he's making real money, obviously. Kristaps is making real money. They say Tim Hardaway Jr. may have priced himself out of Dallas. So is that a slot where they can get Kemba in, but by moving on from Tim Hardaway Jr., and I'm trying to think who else is on that roster.
I mean, you've got Josh Richardson, you've got Maxi Kleber.
Who's making money, though?
I'm trying to think. Those are both, like, one's making 10, one's making 8, I think.
Yeah, you got to get those dudes out of there.
So, but again, if you did that, plus the available cap space Dallas has, that I think kind of makes up the difference for trading for Kemba. And, oh, by the way, like, This is where Sam Presti, who is the GM of the Oklahoma City Thunder, is just beyond brilliant. He saw the writing on the wall when Kevin Durant left. But instead of just immediately blow it up, he retained a fair amount of the culture there by keeping Russell Westbrook. He made the run at Paul George. That didn't work out. And since then, what he's done is he's taken on these big contracts in return for things. And he's either spun them into more assets, like some of the things that he's done, or what is more impressive to me is he's taken on these big contracts that the narrative says aren't good. Chris Paul being a guy that we can point to. And he's turned those into more assets after a half season or a full season. I'll say this. I don't even know that Sam Presti's going to have to wait a half year to upgrade on Kemba, given the dearth of upper echelon players that are going to be available this offseason. There's just not a lot of guys who are as good as Kemba that can be had this offseason.
Yeah, and specifically with the point guard position. Like, when you look around these playoffs, look at the teams that are left. Who has a bum point guard? Mm-hmm. Looking around. I mean, Kyrie's injured. Jrue Holiday. Trae Young. Who else am I missing? Well, when Mike Conley is on the floor, when he's healthy, Mike Conley.
I mean, I don't think I would call them bums, but the Clippers don't have a superstar point guard.
No, absolutely not. But they have a guy. They're kind of weird. They've got a guy that brings the ball up the floor, but the point guard is really Paul George and Kawhi. They do like the point forward thing, which is why it's easy to have a defensive guy like Beverly out there.
Mm. So it's interesting. We had somebody on the Diamonds Direct Twitter feed, Sharam, saying, asking about could Kemba be for LaMelo what CP3 was for Booker? I don't think those two players together, given what Kemba's getting paid, and the fact that you have some iteration of that already with Terry Rozier, if LaMelo was 2 years younger, if the knee wasn't an issue, and which, by the way, wouldn't be available, but if Kemba was younger and the knee issue wasn't there, I think it'd be a cool idea.
But he wouldn't be available.
Well, no, correct. That's the point. The point is, this iteration of Kemba, I don't hypothetically, if money didn't matter and assets didn't matter, I think Rozier and LaMelo playing together shows that Kemba and LaMelo could work together.
I don't like it.
But, well, I just think Kemba could be the scorer and LaMelo could be the facilitator.
I get the thought.
In the same way, but I don't think it makes sense now.
Yeah, go ahead.
I think when Asia Rod joined us, when he said the New York Knicks, it was like yeah.
I said that last week.
Yeah.
Okay, but you didn't give me that. You didn't give me that response when I said that last week. So somebody else comes on.
No, you and I agreed with it though. I agreed with you when you said it on the show. So I think I think Kemba and Julius Randle together have a ceiling. But if you're New York and looking here, actually, you know what? Here's the one reason why I don't think that works. Because Tom Thibodeau will prematurely end Kemba Walker's career. If you're Kemba Walker and you, with the way that Tom Thibodeau ruined the career of a very young Derrick Rose by playing him needless minutes in the regular season, with that knee, Kemba Walker, I don't think, would be able to last a half season under Tom Thibodeau.
I'm glad you brought up Derrick Rose, and I want to back up into the Kemba to Charlotte. I think if they move on from Derrick Rose, they can upgrade exactly what Derrick Rose did. Sixth man, off the bench, whether he's playing starter minutes-ish or not, that's a role in New York that I think Kemba could slide right into, and it doesn't stifle the development of their young point guards. But bringing it back to Charlotte, you know the biggest reason why Kemba coming back to Charlotte doesn't make sense is because you don't want to stifle the growth of LaMelo Ball. By Kemba merely being in the city, it would immediately distract from LaMelo's development in my mind.
How so?
The attention. All of us in the media are going to go run to Kemba, and the fan base, the Kemba jerseys come back out, and it becomes a house divided, and that makes me nervous.
I don't personally think that would happen.
Are you serious?
I really don't.
We're
the media in the town. We don't have a Charlotte Hornets beat reporter in the town anymore.
Well, that's RIP like, Rick Bonnell, but what I'm saying is,
well, no, I don't mean just to Rick. Like, outside of Rick, like, The Athletic doesn't have a Charlotte Hornets beat reporter.
The Rod Bones of the world. Like, guys would say, like, the story would be Kemba. And people going to look at Melo like, can you live up to that? Because as good as Melo was this year, he hasn't gotten to the levels that Kemba was at before Kemba left.
I think most media in this town are absolute sweethearts. I just don't see it being that.
The fan base, the Kemba jerseys would absolutely be in Spectrum Center.
I barely saw any Kemba jerseys when he was here. Maybe that's because there weren't a lot of people at the building itself. Millions have been vaccinated. They're safe, effective, and free. Get the facts you need at mecnc.gov. Chris Sims' quarterback rankings have me feeling positive about Sam Darnold.
Sports Is that possible?
Sports Radio FNZ, Nick Wilson, Stan Norfleet. Stan, haven't talked a lot of football today. It's been a very heavy NBA show.
Last couple of days.
It's been because the NBA refuses to be shot down.
NBA Twitter.
The NBA has been insane. Obviously, the Kemba Walker news today has been huge. There's been some Boston coaching stuff we haven't really gotten to outside of with A'Sherrod Blakely, but yeah. in the background is Chris Sims's quarterback rankings. And Chris does this as a former NFL quarterback now with Pro Football Talk and NBC Sports. Chris does these every year, and every year people get in their feelings about Chris Sims's quarterback rankings every year.
Because he's one of those guys, and you all have seen him. Yes, that Sims, son of Super Bowl quarterback and Hall of Famer Phil Sims. Chris does this thing where there's a little bit of shock jock in there. Like, he gets a kick out of instigating. He likes poking a little bit. He likes a little bit of hyperbole.
It was very similar to his coverage of the Mac Jones, Trey Lance, number three pick for San Francisco, where he played his friendship, and previously working with Kyle Shanahan in Tampa Bay, he played that into riling everybody up and reporting that Mac Jones was a real thing. And if you talk about it, once they made the trade for the pick, it was pretty much always going to be Trey Lance. And so that, but now I say all of that with the fact that Chris is a former NFL quarterback.
Sure.
And that Chris has put out his quarterback rankings. And I can never tell whether these rankings are intended to be, Stan, what he thinks the quarterback is going to be in 2021 or what he thinks they are coming off their 2022 or their 2020. But that being said, he has Panthers quarterback Sam Darnold ranked 19th. Is that too high, too low, or just right?
I voted just right on your Twitter poll.
So
Based on what I think he's going to be this season.
So this is the caveat. This is where it's the, we have to interpret it. If I say what he has been, what Sam Darnold has been, Sam Darnold does not deserve to be ranked ahead of Jared Goff.
I agree.
Who was, I think, the 31st quarterback. Sam Darnold does not deserve to be ranked even ahead of Ben Roethlisberger, who's the 22nd quarterback on this list, or Jimmy Garoppolo, who's the 21st. Last year, in Pro Football Focus, Sam Darnold was the worst quarterback in the NFL.
Yeah.
So if we go on 2020, that's where Sam Darnold deserves to be ranked. But if we go on what he could be this year, If Sam Darnold were the 19th best quarterback in the NFL this year, that means he's around names like Kirk Cousins and Jimmy Garoppolo and Carson Wentz. I'm sorry. The Carolina Panthers are going to have a very good season. Because Sam Darnold doesn't have to be Dak Prescott, who's ranked 9th, or Justin Herbert, who's ranked 11th. Like, if Sam Darnold just goes out there and is a functional NFL quarterback, that means we can get to a year two of Sam Darnold, at which maybe from year one to year two, he can grow and become maybe a top 15 quarterback or a top 12 quarterback at that point.
Well, I got to be fair. He was bad last year, according to Pro Football Focus. He wasn't dead last, Nick. He was close, though.
I thought it was 31st or 32nd.
I have the list. The list that I have from Pro Football Focus says Sam Darnold 37th, Nick Mullins 38, Jalen Hurts 39. Actually, Dwayne Haskins, they said, was the worst in the league. Now, that's just this list. Who knows? There might be three different versions of this. Who knows? I agree with where your thought takes you, though. If Sam Darnold winds up being the 19th best quarterback by passer rating or QBR, because he's going to do a few things with his legs, then that means he would have given this team every opportunity to be playoff caliber. Whether this team gets in the playoffs or not, there are several other factors that have to go into that. But if he plays like that, they'll have a chance.
So I think what we're really saying is it's Sam's job to not screw it up.
Just don't crash it.
Because and it was funny because while you and I are having that conversation, somebody on Twitter today, one of our guys, one of our usual fans of the show, had responded something of, he said he thought it was too high because he's afraid Sam's going to crash it. And I think it's an interesting difference from last year where our take on Teddy was, well, we know who he can be, but maybe he can be 5% better than that, right? We knew he was quarterback 18, 19, 20. I think Sims had him ranked 24th last year going into this year, or 23rd or 24th.
Mm-hmm.
We just needed him to be a little bit better than that, right?
Mm-hmm.
We look at Sam, and obviously Teddy ended up being worse than that. We look at Sam, and we're like, just please don't be worse than 19th. Just please, because if he is, I think 19 is the sweet spot. I think 17, 18, 19, 20, I know we'd all love to have a top five quarterback. We'd love to have a top 10 quarterback. That can't be the bar year one for Sam. And the reality is, this roster's good enough to win. They've got depth on defense, which they didn't have last year. They added one or two potential frontline starters in Hassan Reddick and Joe Horn and Denzel Perryman,
yeah.
Like
Daquan Jones.
So across the board, the defense is much better. And the defense in the second half of the season was keeping you in games, by the way, as a young defense. So okay, that's going to be better. You got more skill. You didn't get more better offensive line necessarily as of yet that we know. But you got more skill around him. So it really is, come in here, over average, be the 19th best quarterback. And if that happens, good things are going to come from there.
If Sam is 19th at his job and Christian McCaffrey is top five, I should say the backfield, him and Chuba Hubbard can be a top five, top 10 running back duo at their job. And that receiver core, they can play at the level they played at last year and do their job. Like, if the complementary football is in play, as long as Sam's decision-making, which is most important for me, his decision-making and his accuracy, as long as those are at least, you know, I would say on par with average in the league, they'll be okay. Now, here's where I take confidence in real quick. If we look at if we believe Teddy and that once he got hurt, everything changed, if we look at that 10-game sample size to start the season, the first 10 games, that gives me confidence that Sam can at least do that. So I don't think 19th or so is unrealistic.
We are talking about Chris Sims, former NFL quarterback, now with NBC Sports, his top 40 quarterback countdown. He has Sam Darnold ranked 19th in the NFL amongst all quarterbacks heading in to 2021. Is that too high, too low, or just right as of right now? And you can vote on this at WFNZ, by the way. We've got about 115 votes in on this poll. We're going to keep it open for, I think, about another 20 minutes or here. Or 20 minutes or so here.
Mm-hmm.
But the votes in so far, 51.7% saying it's just right, 34.5% saying it's too high, with 13.5% of people saying it's too low and maybe being a touch delusional.
Low meaning maybe it should be 16 instead of 19. You see what I'm saying?
I think Chris McClain voted about 40 times. Or no, it was Willie P and T-Bone who've gotten like 12 other people to vote. JK, LOL, just kidding. But looking across the rest of the top 40 quarterback countdown, I want to go through individual names and we're just going to bat back and forth whether those are too high, too low, or just right. Given that Sam Darnold is 19th, Jimmy Garoppolo, 21. Too high, too low, or just right?
Garoppolo at 21. So he's rated below Darnold. That's too low.
I'm going to say you are correct, sir. You are 100% correct. I don't know what Jimmy Garoppolo's done. Anytime Jimmy's been on the field, he's been some level of good. Mm-hmm. I don't know if he's ever been great, but he's been some level of good. The only reason he's like, it's so weird to me that we're going to hold a guy back on these rankings because, well, he's been injured. Oh, by the way, Carson Wentz is 18th. Looking on as we continue through here, Taysom Hill is 24th in the NFL.
Too high.
Chris Sims. That is way too high.
Way too high.
That is,
yes.
I'm doing this as a favor to Sean Payton because I owe him a favor for something. Taysom Hill is a certified grade A slappy. Good athlete. Really good athlete, but he's not he's not Cordell Stewart. I don't think he's a guy that's going to go from slash, X weapon, whatever you want to call him, to top 25 quarterback in the NFL. That's embarrassing.
He's not a quarterback, period. We have the tape. He's not a quarterback. I'm not saying you can't win games with him, There are people that said Cam Newton wasn't a quarterback. I'm not saying that Taysom Hill is Tim Tebow, but he's more in the Tim Tebow category than he is in the insert average Kirk Cousins category. He's not an NFL quarterback.
I'm going to give you another one that is I'm going to give you one that's way too low. Jared Goff at 31. That is borderline. He's behind Mac Jones, Andy Dalton.
That's disrespectful.
Trevor Lawrence, Zach Wilson. He's behind Daniel Jones.
Yeah,
guys.
That's disrespectful.
God bless the Rock Hill native. Daniel Jones has not shown diddly squat in the NFL. I don't know if Jared Goff stole Chris Sims's girl. I don't know if there's a, you know, he owes him money or something. That's disrespectful. And here's another one. Tua Tagovailoa being 34th. Tua's numbers were not that bad.
I don't understand where the Tua hate comes from.
I think it's because he stepped in and it disrupted the rhythm of Miami, who was playing some hot football. That's not on Tua. Tua was respectable last year. He just wasn't fifth pick in the NFL. He just wasn't Justin Herbert. So, like, I think that's really what this is. Tua's being punished for not being Joe Burrow or Justin Herbert while coming off a major hip injury.
Yeah, that's just let the man get healthy. He was a rookie. He has a winning record as a starter. I think he's 6-3. His touchdown interception ratio, okay. Let the man grow. And it ain't like Miami has Kansas City's roster. You know, they needed to, which they did. They added some weapons in the offseason, and that offensive line needed to be improved. Give him some time, but I just didn't see enough. I didn't see enough to be bagging on them the way that some people are.
704-570-9610. Hit us up on the text line or the Diamond Direct Twitter feed. Chris Sims has Jared Goff ranked 31st. He has Jimmy Garoppolo ranked 21st and Sam Darnold ranked 19th. Of those three quarterbacks, which ones were ranked too high, which ones were ranked too low, and which ones were ranked just right? We've got the Jim Solania Gold Brick Ceremony next on Sports Radio FNC. Sports Radio FNZ, the final listen for the Hack Song of the Week coming up in 20 minutes, but it is time for the, I don't know why I'm speaking like William Shatner, it's time for the Jim Solania Gold Brick Ceremony. That's where we give you the four best moments from the show this week. Then, at the end of this segment, we're going to let you guys go to WFNZ on Twitter and vote for what was the best moment from the show this week. Stan, you ready?
Let's hit it.
This segment presented by Mark Spain Real Estate. Stan has perfected the art of spinning stories in order to shed a better light on himself. Yesterday, we called him out for the so-called Norfleet narratives.
Because here comes the narrative flip by Norfleet, the Norfleet narrative flip. What did you respond to your mother?
I just said, Mom, let me see what I can do.
Chach! That
How is that a charge move?
Because you know she wants Price's chicken coop for dinner tonight. You know you're not going to get it. You could let her down right now. Instead, you're going to have her dreaming about Price's chicken coop chicken, and then you're going to come home. Oh, hey, I got some KFC, Mama.
I would probably go with Bohangles first. Over KFC?
I can't disparage Bohangles, but still.
But listen, I'm gonna pass by. I'm gonna make every effort to see if there are any stragglers.
This is Jaden.
No.
This is Jaden 3.0.
What do you mean? I'm a great son. I don't understand the problem here.
What do you have to say for yourself there, Norfleet?
I made an effort, as I told you I would, to slide by Price's Chicken Coop. And forgive me. And you know what? By Goma to you, Rex Specs, because Charles Johnson, yeah, that Charles Johnson, he put out on social media, hey, if you're in line at Price's, I'm buying your food and all of that. And so Rex Specs said, I didn't even try and do something like that for my mama. Rex Specs, it wasn't about the money, even though I don't have as much money as Charles Johnson.
Yeah.
It was about it wasn't open when I got off.
No.
Shop was closed.
This is classic Norfleet narrativing.
Rec specs.
The point is, no, see, this is what you do. You try and turn around and you try and pin it on somebody else instead of accepting
the
responsibility.
He attacked me.
You lied to Mama Fleet.
No, he used.
This is Team Mama Fleet here, Norfleet. We are pro Mama Fleet, and you lied to her knowing you weren't going to get her prices chicken coop.
You lied to her. I should go in there when I see her. I should go in there and say, you know what, Mama? I don't have Charles Johnson's contract money. I did the best I could out there, and this is what God blessed me with financially. I'm sorry I don't have the dough to make prices stay open, or I would get you some prices chicken.
So what you're saying to me, is the fact that it closed at 6 p.m. was not the issue.
No, that was the issue.
The issue was, what you're going to tell to your mom is that, oh, Mama, it wasn't that it was closed when I was going to go. It's that I couldn't keep it open financially. Another Norfleet narrative being spun.
It was used against me.
You knew it was going to be closed when we got off air, and you lied to your mother.
I told Mama I would slide by, and I did. I at least made an effort. Nick, listen, I'll never forget this. My brother told me this years ago. He said, yo, Nick, you have a wife, but, you know, we've dealt with the ladies, right?
Mm-hmm.
Listen, mothers are just wives and girlfriends that gave us birth. They still are programmed and wired that way. So I'm like, sometimes you can't talk to her directly like that.
So
you have
can't
to like
just tell her the truth. Is that
no, you tell her the truth, but it's about the effort. Is my point. Mama and the ladies, they want to see effort. So I made an effort to go by Price's Chicken Coop.
You lied about the chicken and lied about the effort.
I did not lie about the chicken coop. I did not lie about the effort. And I certainly did not lie about not having Charles Johnson's contract money. What up, Chuck? And I'm jealous, by the way,
you know,
Chuck.
It's sus. It's very, very sus. That is number one.
Number two.
That's you, Stan.
Oh, sorry.
It's okay.
I have to find it.
Is this also Charles Johnson's fault or his money's fault?
No, this one's on Fleet.
I'll take it, but not to Mama Fleet.
I'll take this one. All right. Back on Monday, Nick decided to assassinate Chet Holmgren, a high schooler that's going to be a Tennic, number one high school player in the country in men's basketball.
Did he make you a shirt?
That's rude. Chet Holmgren is committed to Gonzaga. He's going there. Nick made fun of his name because his first name is Chet. And Nick thinks this about all Chets.
I think that's the problem. There's never been a character named Chet in movies that hasn't been a D. So maybe it's just the way Hollywood has treated the name. That those liberal Hollywood elitists have ruined and sullied the name Chet. Maybe they're fine. Listen, if you're a quality Chet, send them in. 704-570-9610. Give us a call. If you're a good person named Chet, we want to hear from you because I feel like I can't have a... I'm going to say it's a proper reaction that all Chets are chotches because that's what Hollywood has told me. There has never been a Chet in a movie or in a TV show or reality show that we've said, I want to bro out with this Chet.
It's
not my fault, Steve.
You should apologize.
No. No, you
The young man, Chet Holmgren, has not done anything to you.
That's not what I said.
You have an issue with young people named Chet.
No, what I said was Hollywood's representation of Chet is that every Chet is either a rich bro who doesn't treat his girlfriend right, or he's an out-of-control oil man who, you know, diddles somebody he shouldn't. I'm telling you.
Or a Hollywood, big brother that's just mean as hell,
yes,
like Chet in Weird Science.
Yes. So Hollywood has never paid proper respect to the name Chet, so now my personal opinion of it is skewed. That is more truthful. That is backed in science and history more so than anything you said to Mama Fleet yesterday about Price of Chicken.
How can you be based more? The woman gave birth to me. How does it get more than that?
And you lied to her.
I did not lie to her. I made an effort. Just because the effort was unsuccessful. Sorry. Go ahead.
Number three.
Yesterday on the show, I tried to nickname Mike Budenholzer the same way I've nicknamed Brian Goody Booty Gudenkunst.
Quit calling the man that.
He loves it, but it didn't work out as well as I thought it might.
Listen, my guy,
Mike Budenholzer is going to get fired from Milwaukee if they don't win this
year. He could be the new Goody Booty. They got two Goody Booties. They got Brian Gutekunst, and then they got Goody Booty.
It's Mike Budenholzer.
Yeah, Booty Holzer. Millions have been vaccinated.
Booty, booty.
They're safe, effective, and free. Get the facts you need at mechnc.gov. The rundown next booty, on Sports booty, Radio
everywhere.
FNZ.
Booty, 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 fucking everywhere.
I think Mike Budenholzer would be better right now if his nickname was Mike Booty Holzer.
You're talking about getting teased. What was the name you said earlier? Getting teased with? Richard
Bland.
Yeah. If your last name is Budenholzer, you're getting teased as a kid. You're getting teased as an adult man. Your pockets have to be looking like Mike Budenholzer's pockets. Multi-millionaire if you walk around with a name like Budenholzer.
I got to be honest. I don't think either Mike Budenholzer or Richard Bland have enough money in their bank account for me not to tease them. Like, if I met Richard Bland, who is leading the U.S. Open the last time I paid attention to an update by Sharon Thorsland. I'm sorry, if I met him, I'd be like, really? Richard Bland?
If you came to audition, because I was here when you auditioned for this job, and you walked in, well, you would notice before you got there, and the station GM was named Terry Budenholzer, would you just completely botch the audition?
If by botch the audition, would I address the elephant in the room?
Of course you would not.
Yes, I would.
You would not make fun of the person's name.
Yes, I would.
No, you would not. Yes. Or let me say that. You might. And then you would not get the job, and then I would be on this show with another slap D.
Mm-hmm. See, you're welcome. You're welcome that we don't have somebody named Terry Budenholzer as our GM 3 years ago when I came to the station.
I need you to be more professional.
Nah.
How are we going to get Brian Gutekunst, the GM of the Green Bay Packers, our show if you're going to refer to the man as Goody Booty when he joins?
Because he's going to come on here. He's going to be like, I can't believe you called me Goody Booty. Nobody's ever called me Goody Booty.
Quits.
And now that's my alter ego. If the NFL doesn't work out because, you know, he's going to be fired into oblivion because he can't make nice with Aaron Rodgers, he could end up reinventing himself as a stripper or as a male escort, and Goody Booty would be a great nickname for a male escort or a stripper. Thank you very much. I just coined and minted another millionaire.
Number four.
Thank you. A couple days ago, I was trying to have a serious conversation with Nick about my man slinging Sammy D. But Nick had to be totally bro out if I could read.
Let's try and look at it from his vantage point.
Bro.
Damn, it's cold in New York.
The
Jets suck.
I'm here in Carolina.
Damn, I want to be out of here. Thank you for the Bojangles. I'm trying to be serious, and you're playing around. Hey, I'm being serious right now.
Hey, bro, it's me, Sam Darnold.
I see you just decided.
Hey,
you
bro,
want to be a
don't worry about that tip interception there, bro. I was going to tip it myself, bro.
Are you ready to be serious? The man, if you've never been in a bad situation, then you don't have an appreciation for being in a great situation. It seems like things are going all right. There are going to be some bumps in the road, even when we get to the regular season. Situationally, do they add up the wins?
Bro,
I
love the situation, bro.
Will you just focus?
Bro, I don't have a sectional yet, bro. Bring on over some Natty Light, bro, and we're going to sling the pigskin, bro. Hey, bro, it's me, Sam Darnold, bro. I couldn't tell. Sometimes when Sam Darnold talks, I'm like, is he Sam Darnold? I wish we could play Sam Darnold or Pauly Shore and just play clips of them and see if people could pick out whether it's the Red Rocket or whether it's or whether it's the Weasel.
You find new ways to get on my nerves each and every week. And you find creative ways to be disrespectful.
Mm-hmm.
Especially to some of my guys. Mm-hmm. I told you this week I was focused on being California cool with our starting quarterback, Sam Darnold, and our newly acclaimed Rookie of the Year, LaMelo Ball.
Mm-hmm.
I'm learning to be like California cool. I'm trying to grow here, and you're stifling my growth with your disrespect to slinging Sammy D.
I never want to stifle another man's growth. I've been anti-growth stifling for a while now. I'm sorry. I feel like this is like the I feel like it's like the misfit island of bros that you have here. Like Sam Darnold, and let's throw in Adam Morris in there.
I didn't invite Adam to my damn boat.
Is Jimmy Clausen on your boat? Right?
No. Bleep him for not giving up jersey number two.
Is Juiced Up Carrot Top coming? He's going to bring the props, and we're going to go out on Lake Norman and have a ball? Is that what we're going to do?
I remember this.
You need to get better bros.
The day will come where the boat will set sail. And LaMelo Ball is bringing his Instagram friends and his industry friends.
Yeah,
and we're
going
to have a good time.
Yeah, he's going to share those. He looks like a guy that would say, share that. And by the
way, LaMelo, though, his friends are going to bring friends.
If we remember from the LaMelo interview, Chad Harris points this out. LaMelo called me his guy. So, sorry, you can have Sam Darnold. I'll take LaMelo Ball.
LaMelo didn't call you his guy.
Oh.
He said guys, plural.
You're putting an S on there. All right, guys. You can vote right now at WFNZ. Bro.
Oh, my
Norfleet
God.
Narratives.
You're
I'm
impossible.
Sorry, Mama Fleet. I love you, Mama Fleet. Booty. I didn't mean to follow up by saying, I love you, Mama Fleet, with booty. I'm sorry. So, bro.
New ways to be disrespectful each and every week.
Norfleet Narratives. Booty. Or Chet. At 5:45, we're going to give away the best moment from the show this week. But when we come back, it's been it's been a loaded day, bro. And we're going to get into the LaMelo Ball conversation.
No boat for you.
FNZ.
No boat for you.